Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for being here. My name is Diana Kachan. I'm a MD-PhD student at the University of Miami. I am currently in the, hopefully, last year of my PhD in epidemiology, and I study older workers' health, and specifically their healthcare utilization and healthcare expenditures and health-related quality of life. And I want to apologize in advance. I'll have to run right after this talk because I have a flight to catch, so I will take my questions right after the talk. I'm sorry for disrupting the flow. I have no disclosures to make, and I just want to mention that the funding for this study comes from the National Institute on Occupational Safety and Health and the National Institute on Aging. So I will talk briefly about the background of the study, the methods, what the nutritional outcomes that we were using, the data that we were using in the sample, and then the results and the conclusions and the implications of the findings. So we know that the prevalence of the overweight and obesity is increasing in the general population in the United States, as well as within the workforce. And within the workforce, it has led to significant increases in expenditures and the cost for the employers due to absenteeism and due to poor performance at work. And we also know that the older individuals are now comprising a greater proportion of the workforce as more of them choose to stay employed after their retirement age. And we also know that older workers are generally healthier than non-workers, partially because of the healthy worker effect and partially because there are health benefits that are associated with employment. However, we don't know much about the nutritional status and the obesity status of that worker group. And as it's becoming a more and more prevalent group within workers, it's important to examine their specific nutritional needs and nutritional characteristics. So for this study, we used a nationally representative sample, a national health interview, National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, years pooled from 2005 through 2010. And we used the participants of the survey aged 65 and older who had employment information available. And we characterized the workers and compared them to non-workers. So we basically characterized both groups, actually. And we defined employment, and that's how NHANES defines employment, as having a job within 2 weeks prior to the survey. And this included both paid and unpaid work. So somebody who was working at the family business or at the family farm would also be included in that as an employed person. We assessed intake of macronutrients and micronutrients and energy, as well as water, alcohol, caffeine, I think, as well as BMI and waist circumference. And we hypothesized that because workers are generally healthier than the non-workers, that workers would also have healthier diets and be in better physical shape. The two outcomes that we calculated were percent compliance with dietary recommendations. And those came from the National Academy of Science, Institute of Medicine. Those were the recommended dietary allowance and the adequate intake values. Those are listed in the table under the in the DRI section. We calculated prevalences of compliance and compared those the workers and the non-workers and those using logistic regression. And we also calculated the mean nutrient intake for workers and non-workers for all of those nutrients, as well as for BMI, cholesterol, sugars, waist circumference, and also everything that is listed at the bottom of the table, which is the many nutrients. And we compared those using an unpaired t-test. As I said, we used NHANES data. NHANES is a multi-stage probability survey that is representative of the U.S. non-institutionalized population. It collects a variety of data, both sociodemographic and health characteristics. And it's unique because it uses both interview and clinical exam and lab studies to collect this information. There are three types of dietary data collected. There is dietary behavior that is assessed during the interview. There is a 24-hour dietary recall questionnaire, which is assessed during the physical exam. And there is also a physical, a food frequency questionnaire that is mailed to people after the survey is over. Sorry. This was our sample, about 2,300 people, representing approximately 24 million older U.S. adults. This way, again, people aged 65 plus who had employment status and 24-hour dietary recall information available. And they were the same on race ethnicity. However, the gender composition between the workers and the non-workers was the opposite. So for workers, they were predominantly male, whereas non-workers were predominantly female. Workers were by 3 years younger than the non-workers, and both groups, even though they were different from each other, but they were in really bad physical shape. The mean BMI was 36 and 37. This is the result. This is the results for the mean intakes for the nutrients, and you can see that overall both groups had horrible diets. And that probably explains the mean BMIs that we saw on the previous page. So they all both consumed way too many calories, too much fat, too much sugar, not enough fiber. Workers consumed slightly closer to the recommended value of vitamin E, but that was pretty much the only clinically relevant significant finding that we had. And then alcohol consumption was too high. And if you think about it, the recommended alcohol intake is one or two drinks, depending on the gender, per day, which is each drink is 14 grams of alcohol, so it's 14 to 28. They're consuming more than twice as much on average. And total water intake was also way too low. The recommended intake is 2.7 to 3.7 liters total water, and we only had less than 2 liters. These are the results for the compliance with the with the recommendations. And here we see that the workers had slightly better compliance, slightly better diets, except for total sugars. And when we did logistic regression to compare these results, we saw that workers were actually twice more likely to eat too much sugar than the non-workers. The BMIs, only less than 8% of people in both groups had normal BMI. And less than half ate the recommended values, recommended amounts of fiber, vitamin C, and calcium. So in conclusion, yes, older workers have slightly better diets than the non-workers. However, both of them are really bad and inadequate. And specifically for vitamin C, fiber, calcium, and sugar. And only less than 8% in both groups had normal BMI. And the implications of our findings are such that workers are the more active, more involved socially group of the older population. And through educating those people, and work sites are a unique, great opportunity for educating this group, because there are already mechanisms in place for conveying information. There are social networks for promoting change and promoting education. And by educating the older workers, we can, first of all, spread the word to the rest of the older population, because through their social involvement, but also as older workers age and they exit the workforce, and they can contribute to a healthier general older population. And such worksite education programs should focus on specifically promoting weight loss and promoting better diets, specifically in terms of sugar intake, vitamin C, fiber, and calcium intake. And I would like to thank my co-authors, Stacey Tannenbaum, Chris Erhardt, Laura Fleming, and David Lee, and our finding sources. Thank you. I would like to take any questions now.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes?
I really enjoyed your presentation. I was wondering if you had the chance to look at it by age group, older adults.
We have not done that yet, but that would be a very good idea.
I think for clinical implications or practical implications, that would be really helpful.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. Are there any other questions for Diana? Thank you. Thank you so much.